Maria Johnson actively makes her home a safe place for her husband.
The Lord put on my heart 10 years ago was to make him sorry he had to leave in the morning and glad to come home. I want to greet him with a smile and for him a glass of iced tea. That's his preference. But I want him to be so glad to come home that it's a refuge.
This is Revive Our Hearts with Nancy Lee DeMoss for Wednesday, January 30th. Nancy Lee DeMoss has been teaching a very helpful series called A Vision for Biblical Womanhood. We've heard about the freedom, joy, and peace that comes from embracing our God-given roles as women. Some friends have been listening along with us and are about to help us see how these principles get lived out in the real world. To start, here's Maria Johnson responding to Nancy's teaching.
You read a quote recently by Peggy Noonan stating that she was a strong woman in the early 70s. She was a feminist. A man had attempted to assist her, and she let him know in no uncertain terms she was capable of doing it herself. I have actually done that. Now, my poor husband lived with that type of woman until about 10 years ago, and we're coming up on 38 years. And the difference in our relationship and his response in the whole marriage from the first 28 years to the last 10 has been so amazing. And I see in Genesis 2 where God made man first and gave him that instruction to care for the garden. And then later he created the woman, and she was to be a helper, a completer for him. And my interpretation of that is to make him the best he can be, to be the person that cheers him on, believes in him more than he believes in himself. And once the Lord began correcting my thinking about 10 years ago about this, my husband began to change. And just to fast forward to an example, just a couple of weeks ago, there was a simple little thing I had done at home, just privately at home, that made him look good in the gates. And I didn't even realize it, but he came home from work and said, the guys at work, and he's a mechanic, he works with, you know, the physical labor with other men, and he said, the guys at work could not believe that you bring me coffee in the morning. And he said, I said something to the guys about, when you brought me my coffee this morning, and they said, what? They could not believe that I get coffee in bed in the morning. It made him like a king before those men. There's a simple little tiny thing to do privately in our home, and I wasn't doing it with any intention except kindness. And he came home beaming from ear to ear. And also used to before, one way that my husband spent his free time was with golf. He loves golf. He's a good golfer, and it's just great exercise. But he literally could golf from sunrise to sunset. And I noticed last weekend, he didn't golf one of the days. He spent the whole day with me shopping and driving around and eating out and spend the day together. And I just, you know, that was a big deal to me. I always felt so honored. But then the day that he did golf, he golfed 18 holes and came home. 3:30 in the afternoon, he came home. And I thought, wow, Lord, you know, my goal, the Lord put on my heart 10 years ago, was to make him sorry he had to leave in the morning and glad to come home. I want to greet him with a smile and for him a glass of iced tea. That's his preference. But I want him to be so glad to come home that it's a refuge. And it just was like a bonus from the Lord 2 weeks ago when he came home saying how he was just so honored among the men because he got coffee. You know, such a simple thing. But it's a matter of helping him be the best that he can be, not what am I going to get out of this. God is to meet my needs, not my husband.
And in the process, you have found that your husband is meeting your needs in ways that hadn't been true before.
He is. That's true. But mainly, it's God who is to meet my emotional needs or, you know, for just all sorts of things. But yes, we've become closer and closer and greater friends. And anyway, just a testimony that God's way is the best way. And as you were talking, I was thinking of trying to play basketball with a football. That's how I did it. the first 20-some years. Yes, I could have gotten the ball in the hoop and made a few scores, but a football doesn't dribble very well. And when we function within God's design, it always works the best. It may go against, like Eve, what we want, but God's order does not imply inferiority. His way is always the best. So, and I'm still learning too.
That's great. Thank you, Maria.
For the first 15 years of my marriage, I would describe myself as a very strong woman, very opinionated, but I felt like my opinions were right, so that was fine. I grew up around a lot of men and young men and men, and who were very vocal and verbal, and I learned how to verbalize my opinions. And never realizing that what I was doing in many ways was emasculating men that I tended to disagree with or that I showed disrespect without even realizing it. And my husband, who is a godly pastor, and who, when I first met him, had a very, he didn't have any problem with self-confidence. I'll put it that way. I told him he was the cockiest young man I'd ever met. But by the time we'd been married 15 years, was very withdrawn, was very emasculated from what I had done to him unintentionally. And, you know, Nancy mentions the term Christian feminist. You know, I exemplified feminism, and I did not even realize it. I would have said I was not a feminist. I was submissive to my husband. If he told me to do something, I would do it. But I did not honor and respect my husband in my treatment of him. Now, if you asked me if I respected my husband, I would say yes. But if you were in our home and I disagreed with maybe a principle my husband was stating or a direction he wanted to go, the tone of my voice, the words that I said would be very dishonoring. And I didn't realize it. Our marriage had become very strained. I wouldn't say that we were considering divorce because we were biblical. And I loved God. He loved God. I had a zeal and a passion for God, but I did not realize how ugly I was as a woman and as a wife. And I went away to a cabin for a few days alone, really went there to prepare a study on 1 Peter for my women, not even thinking about the chapter 3 that states the classic chapter on submission. It was just a verse-by-verse study through 1 Peter. And in the providence of God, in the flyleaf of my Bible, I pulled out the little booklet, The Portrait of Biblical Womanhood, by Nancy Lee DeMoss. I don't even know when or where I picked that up. I pulled out that little booklet that week, and God began to uncover layer after layer of sin in my life to uncover who I really was. I realized that, yes, even sometimes the words may be right, what I would say, but the tone that I spoke to my husband in would make him feel like an idiot. That I loved my husband, but I didn't honor him. I came back from that weekend and I set my children down and my husband, and I said, I need to ask your forgiveness and your dad's forgiveness because I have not walked in biblical submission. I haven't treated your dad with honor. I haven't respected him. And I need to ask your forgiveness and his forgiveness. And it was not an instantaneous change overnight. It's been a process of growth and really a process of humility and surrender. Because, you know, although feminism is a modern day phenomena, although the movement may have began in the 60s and 70s. The first breath of feminism came in Genesis chapter 3, when the woman chose to take control, when the woman chose to usurp God's authority in her life. And ladies, that's what I was doing as a believer with my husband, in the way I spoke to him, in the way I treated him, in trying to take charge and fix things. And what God began to show me was, as I humbled myself before God, and it really was an issue of trust, are you going to trust me as God? And are you going to obey me? And are you going to love your husband no matter what? Now, that doesn't mean that there aren't times when our husbands may be unscriptural. Our husbands may be acting foolishly or about to make a foolish decision. But I've learned that if I, first of all, spend a lot of time in prayer before I ever approach my husband, and I pray about whether I'm to approach him or not, I go to the Word and see, is this really something that needs to be spoken to, this issue be spoken to? And then I see if I am assured that God wants me to speak to him about this, then I pray over the timing of it. And then I pray over my attitude of approaching him. And that I approach him in the way, not as a Bible teacher with my finger out and the Bible in one hand and saying, you're not measuring up here and here it is, and with a raised eyebrow, my hand on my hip. But in a spirit of humility, sometimes even on my knees, to just say, honey, I love you so much, and I have a need to talk to you about something. And I need to ask you if you would help me with this issue. And then leave it with him, though, with these words. I trust that you're going to seek God, though, on this matter. And I depend on you and him. I know that you will come to the decision that needs to be made. And leave it with him. If he doesn't make the decision that I think needs to be made, that's between him and God. Because at least I've laid out to him my concerns, and that's between him and God. And, you know, it is still something that I have to learn and grow through, because we're always, you know, there's always new opportunities to practice this, no matter how far along you are in your marriage. And recently I had to call Holly within this past year and say, Holly, I'm really struggling with this issue, with this concern over a decision that my husband is making. And I'm so thankful. Ladies, when you have an issue with your husband, don't go to a friend that's going to run your husband down or speak negatively. Go to a godly woman that's going to speak truth and that is mature in the Word. And Holly reminded me, and I remind myself of this very often, she reminded me, Kim, when you stand before God one day, he's not going to ask you, did Leroy do everything right? Or did Leroy do everything the way you wanted it done? Or did he make the right decision in this instance? But he is going to ask you, did you love your husband? Did you love me and honor me by honoring your husband? Did you encourage your husband? And that's what I continually need to keep before me, is that perspective. When I stand before God, is he going to say, you honored me in how you honored your husband? The issue that I called Holly about, that was a great concern for me, God answered that prayer, and God on his own changed my husband's heart. It wasn't anything that I could have done, but God stepped in and showed himself strong by changing my husband's heart. Now, I could have nagged him. I could have made him feel like an inch tall. And that would have dishonored God, and that wouldn't have accomplished God's purposes. But instead, God was free to work. You know, I love the fact that when we come to God in dependence and humility, that enables his grace and power to move forth in our lives. And when we are in total dependence on Him, He shows up in great ways.
I just wonder, as we wrap this day up, if there's anything that God has said to you that you need to just take a moment and acknowledge and say, Lord, I've heard you. And every marriage is different. Every husband is different. So the particulars may be different. But is there something about your heart that the Lord has pointed out? And you need to just say, yes, Lord, change me. Do this work in my heart and release your husband to the Lord. Now, I know that's probably a whole lot easier said than done. And it's not done just once. It's day after day, moment by moment. But you know what? God has grace for day after day. And God has grace for moment after moment. And you may be thinking, if I let go of those reins, what about 2 months from now when you're not living in 2 months from now? God will give you grace to do what you need to do today and to be the wife He wants you to be today and to affirm and encourage your husband. And we heard from two of these women how God has transformed their husbands really quite apart from their wife's help. Isn't that amazing? Now, there is a sense in which, Kim, you did help. You helped by getting out of the way. And you helped by letting God work in and through you. But you also helped by stepping back so that God could deal directly with your husband. And that's being a helper. Now, that doesn't mean you never speak into his life. And I think you've heard illustrated that there are appropriate ways to do that. But there are inappropriate ways to do that. And again, we're not talking about a list of this is what you say and this is what you don't say. We're saying about a heart inclination that you trust the Lord to make your husband the man He wants him to be. And part of that is the living out for you of that vision of biblical womanhood. This is what it looks like in the nitty-gritty of life. It's living it out. For those of you who are single women, it's living it out in the workplace with men who can be at times not maybe exemplifying a biblical vision of manhood. The challenge is for you to live that out and to let God make your life an inspiration and a blessing to such an extent that the men around you will say, I want to surrender to Christ. You know, aren't you glad God has patience with us? And don't you find that sometimes we're much quicker to expect other people to change than when God gives us room and time for the process of sanctification? And we've heard from some women here who've been married long enough now to be in it for the long haul and to say, give God time. Let God move. Let Him have His way. Let Him work. And don't feel like it has to happen overnight. Hopefully your husband's giving you room to grow and God time to change your life. But I hope that you're willing to do the same with him or with those other men in your life that may, you know, it's so we look at other people's weaknesses through a microscope and our own weaknesses we tend to look at through a telescope. And humility dictates that we be willing to let God put the microscope on our own heart and then that we love others with a kind of love that does give a lot of room and time for God to move.
I was just thinking about Philippians chapter 2 in the context of what Nancy was just saying. And I just want to read it because I believe God's word speaks for itself so many times. So if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from rivalry or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interest, but also to the interest of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And that is why sometimes we make tough choices, and why we continue to make those tough choices in tough marriages, sometimes in tough circumstances. Because the bottom line is, will I go to the Lord in humility and say, Father, I want you to be glorified more than I want my own way? And that's the question God is asking us.
And it's a good reminder that one of the ways of God is that those who humble themselves, God will exalt. Jesus humbled himself and God exalted him. He did not regard equality with God as something to be grasped. Doesn't that speak to what we've been talking about in this whole series? And where has the emphasis been in most of our generation? Grasping for equality. Now, there is an equality there, but those who grasp for it or demand it or insist on it finally lose it. They end up in conflict, in tension, in broken marriages. Jesus took the low road, the pathway of humility. You can never go wrong on the pathway of humility. And God exalted him. And Jesus didn't have to take the low road. He had no sin of his own, nothing to humble himself over. He did that for us. But he also did it as a pattern for us. And maybe that there's a relationship that you have, your marriage or another relationship, where God's asking you to take the low road, not to demand your rights or your place or your say or to be heard or to be recognized, but to take the low road and esteeming others better than yourself, trusting God, casting yourself upon him, and knowing that in God's way and in God's time, he is your protector, he is your defender, he is the lifter of your head. He will exalt in due time those who humble themselves. And the purpose is not so that you can be exalted. The ultimate purpose is so God can be glorified. But that's what we want. That's why we stoop to the cross. That's why we stoop to serve. That's why we stoop to bless others. That's why we're willing to humble ourselves so Christ can be magnified, so he can be exalted, so God can be glorified in and through our lives.
Nancy Leigh DeMoss has been talking with some friends about biblical womanhood in the home. What does it really look like? Even though it's not always easy, embracing God's role for women is deeply satisfying and has an incredible impact on a home, as we heard today. Will you learn more what it means to approach your home in uniquely feminine ways? A great first step is to order a booklet by John Piper called What's the Difference? It will give you a clear overview of what the Bible says about men's roles and women's roles. Dr. John Piper has studied this carefully and wrote this booklet as an easy-to-understand resource for those wanting to learn more. When you make a donation to Revive Our Hearts, we'll send the booklet along with Nancy's CD, Embracing the Gift of Womanhood. When you donate by phone, ask for What's the Difference and Embracing the Gift of Womanhood. The number is 1-800-569-5959. That's 1-800-569-5959. Or order online at reviveourhearts.com. We've gotten a picture today of what biblical womanhood looks like in the home. Well, what about in the church? Find out more tomorrow when Nancy picks up the series, A Vision for Biblical Womanhood, on Revive Our Hearts. Revive Our Hearts with Nancy Leigh DeMoss is an outreach of Life Action Ministries.